your spiritual assessment. There are in the back. If you didn't get one, if you didn't get one last week, there's some in the back. Spiritual assessment. Don't ever read it. Quick questions about where your spiritual gifts fall. And they change, right? They kind of maneuver depending on how the spirit wants to be. Yeah. But that assessment from the back there, and we went over that last week, and then this week, wanted to look at some of the spiritual gift assessment, but I also really wanted to look at of how the church's mission, right? So we know what the church's mission is, and the doctrinal statement of the church, and that was one of the ones we wanted to go over of the church. So we're going to jump in and roll into this real quick. So Matthew 28:18-20 is the Great Commission. We'll read that. Matthew 28, Great Commission. Jesus is saying, Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," he talked to the church, "therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Because the Spirit that was given us, the believers, that Jesus Christ, the Spirit living within us, is with us forever. He's with us to the end of the age. So we go to eternity. The Spirit as believers is with us. Mission of the church is right there. That's the mission of the church. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. And this is what we have to remember. Teaching them. That kind of thing. Boiled down to what we talked about. The Spirit. Who the Spirit is. What Jesus said the purpose of the Spirit was. And when the Spirit was given. And then the Spirit now gives gifts to us as believers, and that's where we stopped last week of the gifts. The gifts. The spiritual assessment. We went through some of the gifts. We talked about some of the gifts. So many times I think, how many of us people who read scripture and we're like, well, I'm not an apostle. We read about these great men of scripture that do these tremendous things in faith. And how many times do we feel like I'm worthless? My faith is not there, right? How many times do we feel like I've done so much wrong in my life? How can I use these gifts? That's not what the Spirit is there for. The Spirit is there for us to know that Jesus Christ loves us, taking away our sin, to forgive us, and to strengthen us to move forward to complete this mission. The mission of the church. So this morning I wanted to look at some uncommon believers in scripture. Some believers that we don't hear a lot about. We have a reference, we have a name. But we don't know the full story. We don't know who these people really are in their whole life. Like we feel like we know like the apostles, right? We feel like we know who David was. And Solomon, because we have more of a story of who these men were, and Ruth, and Naomi, right? We feel like we have this story, but there's some people in Scripture in the New Testament that we have a name, and what I see here, I wanted to pull out because I'm not a common person that we really know about in Scripture. Acts. Chapter 9 is one of these. Verse 10-19, I'm going to read this. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, house of Judas on Straight Street. I love that. You know, not Crooked Street, or Straight Street. On Straight Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to the saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who are called on your name. The Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their king and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer by my name. Then Ananias went to the house of Ananias. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell off of Saul's eyes. He could see again. He got up, was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Ananias. We see this picture. There's multiple people here with a common name, Ananias. But we don't know much about this man. We know that he was like in Damascus, and he had this house, and he was a disciple of the Lord, like he followed Jesus Christ. So I wanted to see, what were his gifts? What was this guy's gifts? Because we don't know a whole lot about him, and that's where I wanted to just jump back and say, well, number one, first off, he was listening. He was praying to the Lord. And when he heard the Lord, he was listening, and he was not thinking back. He was in a fellowship with the Lord when the Lord spoke to him. But then what do we see? Ananias had a gift of discernment. One of the gifts that we talked about. The gift of discernment. Spiritual gift assessment. The gift of discernment is called out being I wanted to read it word for word. The gift of discernment is the divine strength or ability to spiritually identify falsehood and distinguish between right and wrong motives. So we see Ananias questioned the Lord, not out of disrespect, but maybe he was questioning himself of, is this really what you want me to do? Because this guy, Saul, is trying to kill Christians, throw them into prison. And are you sure, God, you want me to do this? So what does Ananias do? Tests the Spirit. He uses the gift of discernment that the Spirit gave him. Because we know he's Jewish, and the Spirit was given to already now to the Jews at this time. So he uses the gift of discernment, and he talks to the Lord. And as he talks to the Lord gives him instruction. That discernment, that gift of discernment, is used by Ananias. Then once he discern the will of God through that, we see faith. Once it was confirmed with the Lord, he moved into action. Faith, another gift of the Spirit. I'm going to read the gift of faith in the New Testament, read it out of here, and obviously go through and just pull out that scripture where we see these gifts as listed. The gift of faith is the divine strength or ability to believe in God for unseen supernatural results in every area or arena of life. So he knew this guy could take me, this guy could throw me into jail, this guy could take me. But he moved in action in faith, trusting God that, hey God, you gave me this word, I gave the discernment that you've given me, and now I'm stepping out on faith that this is truly what he wants to do. And he stepped out and started to walk down that road. And then he had the gift of mercy. You see, mercy. The gift of mercy is the divine strength or ability to feel empathy and care for those who are hurting in any way. Guess what? Saul at the time, he was hurting. He was hurting spiritually because here was a man, Saul, who followed the Torah, followed the law to the T, and now, and you've got to think of when Saul met Jesus on that road. Was he like, oh my goodness, I was part of killing the Messiah. So I'm sure spiritually, Saul was hurting. Right? Hurting spiritually. And then also he couldn't see. So Ananias had mercy on an enemy. Ananias. Given the gift of mercy. So he's also given the gift of healing. The gift of healing. The assessment says this. The gift of healing is the divine strength or ability to act as an intermediary of faith, prayer, and by the laying of hands for the healing of physical and mental illness. Prayer, intercession. What do we see Ananias do? We don't know if Ananias was a doctor. We don't know if Ananias was a store shopkeeper. We don't know if Ananias was a carpenter or a mason, we don't know. But what we do know is he stepped out, he walked in faith, and God told him, Saul saw me in a dream, he saw you in a dream, that you were going to come heal him. And what does Ananias do? Ananias goes into this man's home, finds Saul, right away places his hands on him, and heals Saul. Scales fall off of Saul's eyes. He was given the gift of healing. He was also then given the gift of knowledge. Where we read this. Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming, he sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. That knowledge of the Holy Spirit Ananias knew had to go into Saul, had to be placed in the Saul's place. So not only did Ananias go and lay his hands on him, but he had the knowledge of what needs to be done in this man's life through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit in Saul's life. Ananias, a man that we don't know much about. But we can see pretty much about the guy right here, right? The gifts. When I start looking at when you read that story, so many times we just pull out that story and we look at the conversion of Saul. When I looked at it, the application of the gifts of a man that we don't know much about, you know, like, wow, this guy, he was a disciple. He was an apostle. He was a disciple. He was a common guy. He followed Jesus. And he had the Spirit within him. And he listened to what Jesus told him. Do. He listened to what the Spirit inside told him what to do. It's a different question. How to proceed and what to do. There wasn't any holding back. He stepped forward and went and did it. Those gifts that Ananias used, what? Think about it, those gifts that Ananias used were benefiting us because those gifts allowed Ananias to heal through Jesus Christ, Saul, who later became Paul, who later became the missionary that later became presenting the gospel to the Gentiles, which we are what? We are Gentiles. Ananias used the Holy Spirit's gift that affected us today, which I thought was especially cool. God knows what he's doing. Think not know. Jumping then over to Acts 9. Another story, Acts 9, 42. And this is one that we don't even, that I hear even less about of who this man was. Sorry, I have my papers all over. Acts 9, 42. Okay, so let me set the stage. So, Peter just got done healing a sick woman, a sick man, and raising a woman from the dead. He's in the town of Joppa, or Joppa, however you want to say it. But he was in this town. And Peter, the story you're not here with Peter. You know, Peter was Jewish. And we find this little story about this man that we don't know much about other than two references. Verse 42. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord when Peter had these healings and raising Abba from the dead. Or Tabitha, sorry. It says in verse 43, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So we know a tanner deals with what? Deals with dead animals. So in reality, Peter shouldn't have been under Jewish law, now made himself unclean because Peter was staying with a person that was unclean. Because he dealt with death. So Peter walks in, and we're looking at the gift of hospitality. Hospitality. So who opened their home to Peter? Simon the Tanner. You don't see the priest down the road opening his home to Peter. But you see Simon the Tanner, a guy that dealt in fish skin, you know, maybe, I don't know if he canned the fish hide, fish, what other leather he might have canned or whatever, but he was Simon the Tanner and lived by the sea of death. So we set in verse 42, 942, and then over to Acts 10, 5 and 6, we see this. Again, only a couple references here. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. That's all we know of Simon. Simon the Tanner. Actually, I have a friend. He has a business called Simon Plowman. Do you ever see a truck? He's a good guy. So Simon the Plowman. I always think Simon the Tanner. You know. So all we know is Simon a tanner. But we see his gifts here of hospitality. That's what I wanted to look at. So, the gift of hospitality is listed as this. And actually two gifts that he had here. So, hospitality. The gift of hospitality is the divine strength and ability to create warm, welcoming environments for others to places such as your home, your office, and your church. And yesterday was that not this church. I mean, when I saw the gift of hospitality from this church yesterday for Ford and his family, it was a game on, right? People were serving. People were playing piano. And the boy came back. Hospitality. The doors were open. And this church door should be open like that for every person that needs to believe Christ. We need to identify who Christ is and show people who Christ is. Hospitality is huge. Welcome. And indeed, this church is very welcome. Big hospitality. Not only did Simon the Tanner have the gift of hospitality, but he also, I believe, doesn't say this, I'm kind of reading into it, but I would say he also had the gift of giving. Because what we know is that Peter stayed with him, let's go back. Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Not just overnight. Not just a couple hours for a dinner. Not just for the Sabbath. But for some time. So he could have been there a couple weeks. So Simon the tanner, who was looked at as being an unclean man, had the gift of hospitality and had the gift of giving. The gift of giving reads out as such. The gift of giving is the divine strength or ability to produce wealth. He was an entrepreneur, right? He was producing wealth. He was a tanner. He was making money as a business guy. Produce wealth and to give by tithes and offerings for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God on earth. That's the purpose of giving. Purpose to advance the kingdom of God on earth. Just like the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to Jesus Christ. The gift of giving, hey, you might be talented in making money. Great. But the purpose of giving is to advance the kingdom of God. And that's what we see here with Simon the tanner. Read this two times. Because what happened here? Simon the tanner opened his home to Peter. Meanwhile, an angel of the Lord is talking to Cornelius before the Spirit was given to the Gentiles. And the word of the Lord came to Cornelius and said, go ask for Peter, who's staying in the house of Job, Simon the tanner. So, Simon the tanner, through his gift of hospitality, through his gift of giving, allows Peter to be found. I mean, we know God could have him stay at picking up two shells, but a seashore house too. But it wasn't. It was Simon the tanner because it was, you know, God can do whatever he wants. But it's Simon the tanner. The angel of the Lord, Cornelius, sends his men out to find Peter, bring Peter back. But since Simon the tanner was listening to the Lord, practicing his gift of hospitality and giving, allowed Peter to come to Cornelius. And what happened? Cornelius then comes to Christ. He was a believer. He was a follower. And the Spirit then is given, and that's when the Spirit was given to who was death before, given to the Gentiles. With what? Those gifts, by sign of the tanner that we don't know much about, he uses gifts that affect us how today? Because the Spirit was given to the Gentiles. Once again, who are we? The Gentiles. The Spirit. Hospitality is a big one. Hospitality can really affect people if they feel comfortable or not. 1 Peter, I want to read real quick as we close up. 1 Peter verse 4. 1 Peter, sorry, chapter 4, verse 7. 7 to 9. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Verse 9. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. sometimes that's really hard to do. So when you offer hospitality, guess it's what? It breaks up my world. All of a sudden, all my plans, all of a sudden everything I want to do, now I have to step back and become pitiful to somebody else. Sometimes I know when we used to have a small group at our house, I'm a grumbler sometimes, okay? I was grumbling. So we'd be like, okay, I got to get this done. Then would be like, oh, we have smoke. I had to get this done on the tractor. And I grumble, right? And what the scripture tells me not to do, Jeff, don't be a grumbler. Be hospitable. And once again, I saw that with this church yesterday. The gift of hospitality makes people feel very welcome. The gift of hospitality, if people feel welcome, guess what? They drop their guard down. And people can communicate, and we can talk with each other. And that communication and that talking with each other opens the door for conversation where people then can share with what's going on in their life. The Sabbath for the Israeli people is such a big time for what? A meal. They sit down as a family and they have this. It's a big hospitality thing. It's a time of family and friends and community coming together. So as we look at our gifts, continue to go through, and they're in the back, you can get them. And if you want to talk about any of these, and I really want to know what your gifts are too, so, you know, I want to look at those. But if we need to use, these are tools. That's all they are. These gifts are tools. If you're a painter, you're painting a wall. Do you use a hammer to paint a wall? No, you use the right tool, right? You're fixing a car radiator, Tom. Do you use a shotgun? Maybe you do use a shotgun. Something. Look at that car. I did that one time with a weed whacker. Not with a gun, but maybe that's another story. You don't use a shotgun to fix a radiator. You use a wrench, a screwdriver, you know, some hoses. You use the right tool. You're baking a cake. You don't use kitty litter. You use the correct ingredients. You use the right tool. You're carving small details on wood. Dick and John. You're not using a wood splitter. You're not putting that thing out there on your Home Depot or Lowe's toy-built log splitter. You're using detailed precision instruments to carve that thing the way it's to be crafted. You use the right tool. You play football, if you cheer, whatever you do, if you cheer, I'm going to use this as an example. That you cheer. You're not going to the squad with a baseball bat and a glove. You're wearing your little cheer, what do they call those? Just your little cheer skirt. And, you know, you wear and you use the right tools. You're not wearing big old boots, winter boots, to go flipping around and coming down and landing on someone's back. You use the right tools. My prayer is, as we go through these steps, and we go through and understand the Holy Spirit in our life, then we can take that and minister to all these people in our community. That's my prayer. And I would say that's the prayer of this church. That's what I would say, is people want people in these doors knowing who Jesus Christ is. Heavenly Father, Lord, we know you are God. Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. I just thank you for showing me what to speak about. These two guys I never saw or really thought much about in Scripture before, but you opened my eyes, Lord, of a whole different perspective on the purpose and the tools and the gift that you give us that exists in these two guys that were just willing to use their spiritual gifts to affect somebody really just to do your will, your purpose, the mission of the church. Help us to remember our mission here. Help us to reach out to other people with us. Help us to reach out to our family, Lord, to know the time is near. We see it, and Lord, as we watch what's going on in Israel, we don't know how near it is. But help us to remember these things, because it could be, you could come back, Lord, tonight. You could come back before I'm done praying. We don't know. Just help us to remember and help us to go forward with the purpose of the church, the purpose in our individual life, presents the gospel in a bold manner, in a loving way. We're not judges, but we are just conduits of your love. Help us to remember that as we speak to people. And we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. In the name of Christ.